Well, tonight I'm going to start a new series that I'll be sharing on Wednesday night. Back in the fall, I did a series entitled Spiritual Warfare 101. And so tonight, after we do this, I'm going to start a series entitled Prayer School 101. But first, once again, I want to ask you to stand with me, and let's quote together. You can read it, quote it. Our verse for this month, Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One more time. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. So I hope that you will continue to quote this, meditate on it, memorize it through the month. And in a month or two, I may ask you to just do it from memory, okay? And this is an easy one we're starting with. You may be seated. It's an easy one that we're starting with. We'll probably like memorize a chapter in Ezekiel next month, but just kidding. Just kidding. Prayer School 101. Prayer is such an incredible privilege that God gives each of us. If you had an opportunity to meet with some famous person that's world-renowned, and you got an invitation in the mail to come meet with that person, you'd probably share that with your friends. You'd probably be excited about that. And the truth of the matter is, we have an invitation from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings to come to Him anytime we may need. I mean, that's beyond what any of us could ever offer, and even from our own children, because we separated from by distance and so forth, but not so in our relationship with the Lord. So this is going to be some basic teaching on prayer, with the whole aim and design is for all of us to be more faithful in our prayer, so that we can see more fruit of being a prayerful person in our lives. So there's a sense in which we want to come to the Lord as little children. Caroline mentioned the Father heart of God, and we're invited to that in Scripture. You know, He's our Heavenly Father. We'll see that tonight. Jesus taught us to pray to Him as our Father in heaven. And I ran across a list of some cute things that kids have prayed. Made me chuckle, and I would think perhaps most of these make Jesus chuckle as well, because He loves children so much. Here's one. Dear God, please forgive me for hiding my sister's favorite doll, and please don't tell her where it is. Dear God, I need you to make my mom not allergic to cats. I really want a cat, and I really don't want to ask my mom to move out. Dear God, I went to this wedding, and they were kissing right there in church. Is that okay? Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, I love Christmas and Easter. Could you please put another holiday in the middle? There's nothing good in there now. Kids, let me see if I can find another one here that you might like. Dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a really good time like I am. Dear God, please send me a pony. I never asked for anything before. You can look it up. And the last one, appropriately the last one. Dear God, please take care of my daddy, mommy, sister, brother, my doggie, and me. Oh, please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. And that's the truth, isn't it? You know, a great man of God by the name of Andrew Murray, you may have read some of his books in a century or so ago, and he wrote a lot of books on our life in Christ, and one he wrote on In the School of Prayer with Christ. And he had a lot of great things to say. He said this, "Answered prayer is the interchange of love between the Father and His child." And you know, when we begin to think of prayer in that dynamic, it can shift our heart to a place of expectation and away from the place of obligation. Because there's a sense of duty that sometimes, well, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to pray, I'm going to pray. But when we really realize this is a life-giving, vibrant relationship we have with God the Father, just like when your kids, you talk with them, especially little kids, you know, they'll just sit there and they'll just go on, and they'll share their heart and give you their perspective of life, and sometimes we just chuckle. But can you imagine if we truly had God's full perspective of everything, how some of the things that we go before Him with must sound? You know, so I was thinking earlier, if somebody asked me, what is prayer? And I just jotted this down. It is communion and communication between God and man or woman. It is the exchange of what is upon the heart of both of them, the one who speaks and the one who listens. It's a partnership of trust whereby heaven's will is carried out upon earth's needs. It's the emptying of one soul before God, knowing that He will hear and respond. Have you ever just needed to have some time and talk to one of your good friends? Or some time away just to talk with your spouse? Talk to someone that you feel like would truly listen and who really you feel like really understands you. Well, every time you pray, you're entering into that very place. And we need to understand it that way. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and also in Matthew chapter 6, we have the occasion where we find what is called the Lord's Prayer. Some call it the model prayer, a sample prayer. So I'm going to read the first verse of Luke 11, but then we're going to go to Matthew 6, the passage where Jesus shares the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at the verses preceding that. But in Luke 11, 1, just listen to this. "Now it came to pass as He was praying," that is Jesus was praying, "in a certain place, when He ceased, that one of His disciples said to Him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So obviously Jesus had been praying, and I have to believe that the disciples were witnessing this, maybe participating in some degree. They were also aware, because some of them had been disciples of John the Baptist, that John had schooled them in prayer, taught them to pray. So obviously John was a praying man if he had taught his disciples how to pray. And here they pop the question, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And in Luke 11, Jesus then shares what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew develops the surrounding context a little bit more fully. And I'm going to begin in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 5. And I'm going to read the scriptures, then we'll come back. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 5 and following, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So Jesus here has a lot to say about prayer. And Luke 11 tells us that that was one of the questions. So as a master teacher and also as a powerful intercessor, he shares with them some deep insights here in these verses. And I want us to kind of distill them tonight and put them under some simple headings and hopefully to encourage us to be more faithful in the area of prayer in our lives. Now, there may be some here tonight that you may not have a daily practice of spending time in prayer with God. There may be others that you may pray a few minutes a day, and that's great. Others may pray a few hours a day. I know we have people in the room that I greatly respect as incredible prayer warriors and have been for years and years and years. Most of our small groups, when they meet, a part of what they do is they pray. When we have our worship services, there's always prayer. Our ministry time focuses on praying for one another. So prayer is to be an important part of our individual and personal lives and our walk with God, as well as the corporate life of our fellowship. So, first of all, I want to share with you that just in reading these verses that of Jesus' teaching, I want you to realize that he calls us to, first of all, sincere prayer. Be honest with God. Notice what he says. He said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets." And then he tells us the problem with that. "That they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So he calls us to be sincere in our prayer life. He calls this example, he called them hypocrites. And it wasn't hypocritical because they were praying where other people might hear them, but they were praying so that other people would hear them. And it wasn't that they were praying and could be seen as someone praying. It was that they were praying to be seen. And so this is the problem. And Jesus said, if we're going, as when he teaches the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the goal is to see heaven invade earth, to God's will done in heaven to be done on earth. And so when you put this together, he's saying here, if you want God to honor your prayer, if you want God to move, if you want heaven to move in earth as a result of what you pray, then be sincere. Listen, there's not a one of us in the building that can fool God. We might can fool one another sometimes, but we can't fool God. What is the saying? You can fool some of the people all the time, all the people some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. And that's true. And so Jesus said, don't be hypocritical. When you pray, here's the summary. To be sincere in prayer, we should be praying to connect with God, to commune with God, to converse with God. And that doesn't mean we should not have public prayer. We're called to have public prayer in the Scriptures. You know, that's the early church. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and fellowship and in prayers, it says in Acts chapter 2. That's part of the early church. So prayer is to be a part of the life of the church and our gatherings and so forth. But in our personal private life, it's important. We'll see here in just a moment, you know, to be sincere and as well as other things, to be honest with God, sincere. One thing that I learned a long time ago, when I'm struggling with Eddie, the best thing that Eddie can do is talk to Jesus about Eddie. Honestly. Lord, you know my weakness. You know my frailty. I'm not fooling you. Lord, you know, I'm struggling with my attitude here. Lord, I'm feeling angry and I feel like I'm losing my peace. And I know that's not right. And I need you to help me know where I got off. What triggered this? What button was pushed? And just to be sincere. As opposed to the person that is all about it looking right and sounding right and having the good reputation with people, what really matters is that when we get to the throne room of heaven, God knows that someone who's sincere and honest and humble is coming into His presence. So, first of all, sincere prayer. Does that make sense? Now, let's look secondly. Also, He talks about secret prayer. And again, this is not to say that we shouldn't have prayer that is known by other people. But notice what He does say in verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now let me talk about the last part first, reward you openly. And the last part of that first section, they have their reward. They're out in the open publicly. Jesus said, that's their reward. What's their reward? To have people thinking that they might be holy men of prayer. That's all, the pat on their back for being, oh, wow, you're holy men. That's their in secret that will be obvious to everyone else. And so, again, this is not saying, number one, that we shouldn't have group prayer. It's not saying we should not have huddle prayer. It's not saying we shouldn't have public prayer. But here, he's talking about our, if you will, our ongoing daily walk with God, our own personal prayer life. Get in a secret place. Your secret place might be a room in your house, a bench in the backyard. I have different places that I pray depending on the weather. I like to walk and pray. But have a place where it's just you and God. And Jesus says, the Father will meet with you there. Isn't that amazing? If you think about what's being said here, Jesus is not putting a premium on being out in the middle of everybody and doing all your praying. It's like, I want you alone. Just you and me. You and me. Let's, you know, like a good marriage, you need a long time, right? And the Lord said, find a secret place and meet with me there. He said, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, isn't that interesting? Not just get in a room and shut the door. Privacy, please. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When getting along with God, your only motive could be, I want to spend time with God. The first example, the hypocrites, it wasn't really about getting along with God. It wasn't about getting with God. It was about false pretense. Here, this is about honesty and meeting with God in a secret place. So, secret prayer. Let me tell you something good about the secret place. Earlier I was mentioned about, you know, you get honest with God about your struggles. When you get in a secret place and there's not all that hustle and bustle, TV's not on, podcast is not on, it's just giving God some time, then you can hear Him more easily say, well, let me tell you, let me show you and bring to your memory why you lost your peace. Help you to see what you're really angry about. Hey, apart from the blood of Jesus, there's no pure, holy, or perfect people in this room. There's not a one of us that doesn't need some straightening out from the Lord from time to time. And one of the most dangerous places we can get is when we think that we're more spiritual than one another. And we think that we're better than other people. And we start judging and we start criticizing. But the secret place is the place where you're giving God the opportunity, tug those reins, tap those brakes, or me, jerk me in place. So this is a beautiful thing. Secret prayer. So there's sincere prayer. Don't be like the hypocrites. There's secret prayer. And then there's simple prayer. Notice next, the next verse there in Matthew 6, in verse 7. And when you pray, now you follow his instructions. You're in your room. You close the door. And, okay, now we're going to get to the actual praying part. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. The Lord is not like I am. I constantly have to have Mickey, what'd you say? Repeat herself. You don't have to tell him over and over and over. He hears the first time. The vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Isn't that liberating? For the Lord to say, you know, it's not about the, number one, it's not about the volume with which you pray. You can pray loud, that's fine. And there's time when we should lift up our voices. But it's also not about the volume of words that we use. Because prayer is not about informing God about things He doesn't know what's going on. God doesn't need a gossip line. God doesn't need updated, you know. He doesn't need opportunities to catch up with what's going on in the world or in our lives. So that's not the purpose of the prayer. Remember, we're meeting with Him. We're being sincere. It's just God and you, God and me alone. Keep it simple. What's really going on? How are things in your family? What's really going on with the kids? What's really going on with your spouse? What's really going on in your finances? What are you, you know, what's really irritating you, frustrating you, upsetting you? And to be able, and that's just part of prayer now. I don't want this to come across like it's just a venting session. You know, God knows all that too. I want you to think, I'm coming more from, we need to be honest with ourselves. That's how we get our breakthroughs. When we see things the way God sees things, that's when we get some wisdom. That's when truth begins to prevail. So that's so important. Is just to keep things simple. And then the last thing here in these verses, let me talk a moment about sample prayer. And I'm using that word just to keep make that easy for you to remember. It's sincere, it's secret, it's sample. And the sample prayer, because the reason I'm using the word sample or sometimes a model prayer, Jesus taught His disciples to pray this way. But not everything He taught them would have been in His prayer life. He did not have to pray for His sins to be forgiven. He did not have to say, Father, forgive me for my trespasses. So that He was sinless. He was sinless. And wow, if we can sometimes have a day when we can't remember, you know, something that we've done. You know, those days when you sleep almost all day or something like that. But seriously, he has His disciples in mind when He gives this prayer. He's telling us this is what we need to be praying. And of course, most of this, obviously, would relate to him as well, but some of it. It is his kingdom. You know, when he's saying your kingdom come, hey, I mean, it's his kingdom that's coming. So there's some differences here between how we would pray and how he would pray. I just wanted to point that out. But in this sample prayer, you know, he said, our Father in heaven. So it's about relationship. You really don't see the concept of the fatherhood of God in the Old Testament presented, but as thoroughly and as fully as when Jesus came. It was all about the Father. You close yourself in a closet, and your Father and who sees you in secret will reward you openly. My Father, and here, our Father in heaven. That father-to-child relationship. Again, just like Andrew Murray said, answered prayer is the interchange of love between the Father and His child. And Jesus said, when you pray to your Father. And He's in heaven. But by His Spirit, He's right with us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed your name. You honor His name. And you could preach a whole series just on the Lord's Prayer. But again, I remember years ago, Larry Lee did a lot of teaching on prayer. And he taught how you could take the Lord's Prayer and pray for a solid hour just using the Lord's Prayer. And I used that for a while. And it's a good model to get into a lot of areas and deeply into areas of prayer. But I would also say that Jesus has just said, you know, about it not being many words. And it takes me, just in a normal flow of the way I'm talking now, about 27 seconds to pray this prayer. And yet, it's the prayer Jesus taught His disciples to pray. And one of the primary things I'm wanting to nail home tonight or drive home in all of our lives here tonight is to encourage each and every one of us, at least for this next week, would you commit that? That at least once every day you would say the Lord's Prayer. Now some of us, when we were growing up, I learned it in, I think, third or fourth grade, we learned the Lord's Prayer when I was growing up. The whole class said it together every day. You know, and some of us have learned it, trespasses. Some of us have learned debts and debtors. I've learned it in King James. That's the reason when I read this, I almost intuitively, you know, our Father who art in heaven, you know. We don't really talk that way anymore, but the Lord knows what I'm saying when I'm saying He art. Okay, so, you know. My Father in heaven. Relationship. Father, honor your name. Your kingdom come. Your will. Isn't it interesting? Kingdom. I've been teaching some of this on Sunday. Hear this emphasis of King and His kingdom. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. By the way, in the Greek, that's imperative. Like, kingdom of God come. Will of God be done. You know, there's a sense of urgency there of releasing the kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And he says, then he goes to the area of give us this day our daily bread, about provision. You know, for them, a lot of times they didn't know where they were going to get their next meal from in that day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, our trespasses. You know, do not lead us into temptation. Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted, but he never failed. Deliver us from the evil one, though literally the wicked one, the evil one, the devil. He's, Jesus teaches, because we need to pray this way, that means that we are subject to the devil attacking our lives, for the evil one to come against us. So deliver us from that, O Lord. And because of our fallen nature, we're going to be tempted, and we need the Lord to help us. And lead us not into temptation. You know, sometimes when I'm praying this, Lord, you know who I am. You know my faults. You know my flaws. You know my failures. You know everything about me. Please keep me out of situations where I would fall into temptation. I think this is what Jesus is basically calling us to do, is ask the Lord to help us not to fall into temptation. He says, For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And sometimes when I'm praying this, I'll say, Lord, it's your kingdom. It's not mine. It's your power. It's not mine. It's your glory. It's not mine. Forever. And I add in Jesus' name, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way. And the closer he got to his exodus through the death, burial, and resurrection, he began to shift things for them and teaching them that they should pray in his name, that the Father would honor their prayers offered in his name. So, my practice changes from time to time, but my typical morning now when I wake up, usually the first thing I do is I read the Bible. I read a Bible verse. I have a verse of the day, and before I look at anything else, I want to read that scripture. And then I'll lay there and I'll meditate on that. Sometimes I may read other scriptures, and then I'm going to have a time of prayer. Sometimes I will roll over under the covers and get on my knees while I'm on the bed, you know, on my knees and elbows, just my face, and I will pray there. Sometimes I will get off the bed and kneel on the floor and throw my arms up on the bed. And there's no specific posture that you're commanded to always pray in. But the prosuke, the general word for prayer, has the idea of you know, from kiss the face to laying prostrate before God, all of that is incorporated into how we approach God in prayer. So, and lately I have what I will pray while I'm on my knees. I will pray pray the Lord's Prayer, and then go on to other things, but the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to encourage everybody in the room tonight, beginning in the morning. Now, you may choose to do a different time, but I'm just asking you to consider this. And you may have your practice established. I'm not trying to interrupt what you and God have going. That's good. But if you maybe are not consistent, or you really haven't made it a practice of being intentional about having a prayer time, I'm telling you, it will make a difference in your life if just one time each day, if you will sincerely, secretly, and simply pray the Lord's Prayer. Because like I said, most of us learned it. I've known it since I was a child. And what can happen, it kind of becomes rote memory. And you're just quoting it and, you know, I'm talking about these disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is what he taught them. He told, when you are praying this prayer, you are praying the very words Jesus told his disciples to pray. And because now it's canonized in Scripture, you are praying the Word of God when you pray this prayer. So don't think of it as, well, that's just a little short prayer that people remember. It is the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray. It was his idea. It was his answer to the question, teach us to pray. Has to be right. Everything in it has to be a good something to pray. And because it was his idea, and he said, you should pray this way, after this manner, in this manner pray, since he put all that in place, if you do it, then there's going to be an honor and a blessing on it in your life. And there's not a one of us here that can at least do that. If not by memory, you can read it. It takes me 27 seconds, and I could do it in 20 if I needed to. I'm just saying. And you can expand on it if you want to, but just pray this prayer as it is. at least once a day this coming week. Do it sincerely. Lord, now Pastor Eddie said, this is the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, so I'm going to pray it. And I'm believing, Lord, that you're going to hear it and you're going to honor it. And do it. Pray it sincerely. Pray it secretly. Pray it simply. And ask God to bless you. You see, I believe the Scripture, because it says He's put eternity in all of our hearts. And I believe that's everybody. Everybody has, call it what you want to, a prompting, an inkling, a deep hunger or knowing that there's something, someone out there. Say it how you want to. There's some causal, primal force that brought everything into being that is. And before any of this ever was, then God was. That's who we're praying to. And He has manifested Himself in this world through His Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray this prayer to connect with this very God of whom I'm speaking. But everybody, when was it? 3 weeks or so now, January the 2nd, on a Monday night, Buffalo Bills were playing the Cincinnati Bengals. Pretty early in the game. And one of the Bengals was caught a pass, and the safety for the Buffalo Bills hit him hard and tackled him. The safety rolled over, got up, took a couple of steps, and just fell to the ground like you would drop a towel. He just dropped. Had a cardiac arrest on the field. They brought the defibrillator out. They had to shock him back to life, my understanding is, on two different occasions before he got to the hospital. He lay out there on the field quite a while. They pulled the ambulance up. All of a sudden, the stadium that had been alive with the cheers and the roars now was quiet. Players on both teams were seen going to their knees. I remember seeing one of those big old boys out there on his knees and on his face, just pouring his heart out to God, praying for his teammate because the man had fallen dead on the field. They suspended the game, and over the period of 30, 45 minutes, they finally decided the game's go home. No more ball tonight. It was that serious. Those coaches were huddling and praying. Those teammates were huddling and praying. The fans in the stands, they were praying. Even some of the broadcasters against company policies said, you know, this may not be the thing we're supposed to do, but we're going to pray. And they began praying on live television. You see, in a true crisis, people look everywhere, and the only place there's something in them says, you know, we need help from God. Knees go down and prayers go up. And the thing is, it's prayer's not just, thank God it's for crisis. Thank God for that. Thank God it's for crisis, but it's for so much more than crisis. It's for our daily life. It can change things in our lives. It can change things within us. It can change things in our children's life, in our marriages, in our finances, in our health, in your work environment. Having just a consistent prayer life where you are connecting with God in prayer. And the truth is, most of us got time to look on Facebook and spend some time on Facebook. Check out Instagram. Surf the web a little bit. Watch some TV. We all know how to do that. With God. Seek you first the kingdom of God. And our way that we commune and communicate with Him is through prayer. Keep it sincere. Keep it, have some secret prayer. Keep it simple. And you will begin to tell a difference. Just praying this prayer will make a difference. Why? Well, you're going to start realizing, wow, that's not as tempting as it was. Wow, it seems like the devil's backed off this situation. My goodness, I got that promotion at work. More bread on the table now. You know, I thought I could never let go of this bitterness, but it's like, it's just gone now. I'm forgiving. Now I have so much peace. All of that in this prayer. In this prayer. So this is lesson one of Prayer School 101. When you wake up in the morning, do it like you want to, but maybe get on your knees and say the Lord's Prayer. Do this for the next week and see what happens. Just pray it in faith from your heart. Listen to what the Lord says back to you. Read your Bible, and it will make a difference in your life. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank you tonight just for the simple truths from your word. We thank you, as the psalmist says, that you are the God who hears and answers prayers. We thank you so much, Lord, for breakthrough answers to prayer. Lord, I know this room is filled with testimonies of answered prayer. Lord, we've seen you answer so many prayers, even in these altars, though we haven't been here long. So many prayers have been answered here. Thank you, Lord, that you are a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God, and you invite us to be a people who pray. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters and friends here tonight, those who may be joining us online, that whatever their greatest need is right now, I pray there'd be a stirring within them to bring that before you in prayer in simple childlike faith. And Lord, we pray for that need tonight in every life, whatever it is. We say yes and amen to your promises regarding that need, that situation, that circumstance. And thank you that with you all things are possible. Thank you that you said if we would pray and believe whatsoever things we pray that we'd have them, that we would have them. We thank you, Lord, that you said we could speak to mountains and they would move. You said if two of us agree as touching any one thing, it would be done. Lord, you said that you would honor prayer that is brought to the Father in your name, that you would do it. And Father, you honor the Son as he intercedes there in your very presence along with us, Lord. We thank you that you're moving, that things are happening around us. Things are happening in our life because of prayers that have been prayed, but more than that, because of prayers that have been answered. Thank you, Lord. Prayer was your idea. Thank you, Lord, for these instructions. They are your ideas. And Lord, we just want to obey them and see the fruit of it. So I'm just going to open this altar up tonight. I'm dismissing. Right now, in Jesus' name, you be blessed. Have a wonderful week. But there may be somebody who just want to come and bow and pray the Lord's Prayer. Sincerely, simply, right here. Or you may have need of prayer. You need someone to pray with you about something going on in your life. We're here to pray with you tonight. Thank you so much for coming out. God bless you. You have a wonderful evening in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.